Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries daily worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on health issues such as the cause of disease, right after this. Hey, let me ask you this. What's wrong with the Ten Commandments? Because it's pretty obvious that something is wrong with the Ten Commandments because they have been banned from our public schools, our public institutions, and our national consciousness. Now, instead of these ten simple time-tested laws, we see the ten planks to the Communist Manifesto. And they're teaching these ten planks to the Communist Manifesto in our schools, public institutions, and we've made them a part of our national consciousness. You know, this is a pretty radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years. Are you aware, for instance, that your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent? But your daughter can have an abortion arranged through that same public school nurse without even your knowledge, much less your consent. Now, the solution to this kind of moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. You know, our founding fathers practiced and advocated the Ten Commandments. They even put 22 principles of that law into our federal constitution. And there's still at least one school left in America that teaches this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, and all 759 statutes, judgments, and penalties, as well as the 33 benefits for their observance. Now, you know every law has a penalty, and you don't have to know what that penalty is to suffer from its effect. So whether you call that the Mosaic Law, the law of God, the common law, or natural law, you know it's automatic, and it works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which just happen to be the natural penalties for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package? That's the place to start. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. Remember, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, and best of all, it's free of charge, and you can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. If you're online, go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email, send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Now, once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Why don't you do it right now while you're thinking about it before you forget? All right, we've been talking about this thing of disease. What causes it? We found out that it's very simple, no rocket science involved. Either one, you're starving to death, or two, you're being poisoned, or a combination of the two. Now, that's what causes disease. So in looking at rare earths and looking at things like birth defects and what happens when you deprive your body of certain nutrients, we come down with certain symptoms. If we deprive your body of vitamin C, we get a symptom and we hang a label on it. We call that scurvy. Or if we deprive your body of vitamin D, we get a symptom and then we hang a label on it and we copyright it and we trademark it and then we go out and sell it and market it and we call it rickets. Now, there's no such thing as a cure for disease, because if we had a cure for disease, then we wouldn't have a disease. So what we have is a treatment for the disease. The treatment. That's where the money's at. And that's why we have treatments instead of cures. You see, scurvy in reality is a nutritional deficiency that we hang a label on. And we call it a disease. And we call it scurvy. We go out and market and sell it. And we tell you, hey, you've got scurvy. And you need these pills. You need to go down to the drugstore and buy these pills. And so your scurvy goes away, and you say, well, that's pretty good. Now, scurvy is not a very good disease, and that's because anybody can go out here and eat tomatoes and peppers and drink orange juice, and they don't get scurvy. It's a bad disease. There's no money in it. All right, so we don't like to sell scurvy, rickets, and vitamin A for night blindness. What we like to sell is cancer, heart disease, stroke, muscular dystrophy, diabetes. Now, those are money-making diseases. Those diseases make us a bundle, and we like to stick with them because they're proven money makers. That's why we don't have any cures for cancer, although there are 13. We like to treat cancer. We call it an incurable disease. And we go out and market. It's a copyrighted trademark. And if I went out and told you how to cure your cancer, I'd be arrested and jailed for practicing medicine without a license. And that's because we have a closed union shop. Closed union shop. By God, we're not going to have scabs out here on the streets telling people how to cure cancer. That's why we have the war on drugs. We're not going to have a bunch of damn scabs out here on the street corners selling drugs at 1/6 the price that we sell them for at Rexall and Osco Buttrick. Now, illegal drugs in this country kill 6,000 people a year, and that's lamentable. Legal drugs in this country kill 130,000 people, and that's acceptable because it's legal. I'm not quite sure why we like to buy into this kind of a program, but that's the way things are. I didn't make it that way. I'm just here to report it. 130,000 people are killed every year by your allopathic medical doctor. 6,000 are killed by Joe the drug dealer down on the street corner. Now, there's another factoid that comes in here, and I thought I would be remiss if I didn't bring you up to date or up to speed here on the 18. I said there's 19, actually. I only counted 18 here. I went through my Mosaic Law book. I have all of the laws of the Bible in a book. I don't know if you're aware of that. They're all contained in the Bible, but they're hard to find in the Bible. That's because they're written in code, and you have to go search through 1,189 chapters to pull them all out. Now, there's 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments in the Scripture. 759. I know you heard there was 613. You got that from the local rabbi. And that's fine, but the rabbi was 146 short. I counted 759. Now, I'm just a plumber. I'm not an expert. Just a plumber. But I found an extra 146. Now, I'm not claiming that 759 is the net sum total. It's all I could find. Now, maybe you're a little smarter than I am, and you could go through the Bible looking up laws, and maybe you could find 814, which would prove that there's more than 759. I found 759, which proves there's more than 613. So save yourself a postage stamp. Don't write me a letter and tell me. I already know what the Jews told us, 613. These laws are divided into 133 subject matters. 133. I wouldn't tell you that there's not 135 or 40. I could only find 133 subjects, different subjects, such as, but not limited to, Aaronic priests, adultery, beards, atonement, bestiality, fish and game animals, gleaning, hoary heads, husbands, brothers. Now, there are certain topics here in the Bible. If you're talking about offerings and sacrifices, there's 13 of them. 13 laws that govern these sacrifices and offerings. And so what I did was I code pled them all out. I'm a law school teacher, and so I'm used to law and the way we sort things out in law. We call this code pleading, and we take all of the information on a particular topic, such as, but not limited to, adultery. So I took up the word adultery. I looked it up in the Bible. And how many statutes are there in the Scripture concerning adultery? And I'll just count them for you. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 statutes on adultery. Adultery comes in 7 forms. 7 things here constitute adultery. So I code plot them out, put them all together, put them down on a single page so that we could get all of that story on one page. We don't have to look through 1,189 chapters. Now we got it all right there on one page. That's what code pleading is all about. Now, when we code plead all of these laws out, we find that 759 statutes divide into 133 subjects. Of those 133 subjects, 18 out of the 133 deal with health. Isn't that special? Thought you'd like that. So we got 18 subject matters that deal with health. I'm going to tell you what they are, just briefly. Adultery, blood, childbirth, circumcision, clean meats, clothing, copulation, dead men, disease, sickness, and plague, fat, leprosy, menstruous women, quarantine, running issue, sanitation, sex and incest, sodomy, and whoredom. Those 18 laws, or 18 subject matters of law, deal with health. If you break one or more of those laws, you will get sick. So I always tell my students when they come in the door, if you're going to violate any of these 18 health laws, you need health insurance. That's how simple that is. I mean, come on. If you're going to smoke cigarettes, Bob, you need health insurance. If you're going to eat McDonald's Big Macs, you need health insurance. And that's because Big Macs have 30% fat. Now, there's a law here in the Bible, number 10, in my list of 18, that says you shall eat no manner of fat. Let me just show you that. Let me see if I can find fat here. Here's C, D, E, F, fat. C, D, stand by here. C, D, E, F, F, F. I'm looking for fat here. I'm going to skip ahead here. Be patient with me. I'm old. Take those five out of here. Here I am, fat. It's law number 39. I'm going to flip over here to law number 39, give you an illustration. Just two statutes in the entire Bible. You'll find it in Leviticus 3, verse 17, and Leviticus 7, verses 22 through 25. Here's what these two laws tell you. Number one, it says, it shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all of your dwellings, that you eat neither fat nor blood. All right? That's one law. That law is repeated in Leviticus 7, verses 22 through 25. Here's what that law says. It says, and the Eternal spoke unto Moses, saying, you speak unto the children of Israel, saying, you shall eat no manner of fat of ox or of sheep or of goat, and the fat of the beast that dieth of itself, and the fat of that which is torn with beasts, may be used in any other use. But you shall in no wise eat of it. For whosoever eats of the fat of the beast, of which men offer an offering made by fire unto the Eternal, even the soul that eats it shall be cut off from his people. So there's a penalty. It's called excommunication. If you see some guy that runs around slavering after fat, you know, you excommunicate him. That's the penalty that's prescribed. Now, why is it that God told us not to eat fat? What does fat do to us? Maybe it tastes real good. For instance, at Wendy's here in the United States, we have a hamburger chain called Wendy's. And they call their hamburgers hot and juicy. The heat, I can understand. What do you think that juice is? Well, the juice is fat. Now, here in the United States, by law, we put 30% fat into our hamburger. You can buy hamburger without any fat. It's called ground round. You can buy lean hamburger, which is 91% lean and 9% fat. You can buy intermediate hamburger, which is 80% lean and 20% fat. then you buy the regular hamburger, which is 70% lean and 30% fat. Then we have certain lunch meats like bologna and hot dogs, which are 60% lean and 40% fat. So here in this country, by law, we prescribe the amount of fat that's in our meat. And it's labeled. It's right on the package. Tells you how much fat's in there. Now, you have a guy here that's calling himself God. He says, I am the eternal. I am that I am. There's none else beside me. The heaven's my throne and the earth is my footstool. I own all this. He comes along and he says, Hey, Bob, I created you. You're mine. I own you. And I'm telling you, don't eat fat. Now, most people, when they see that, their dander gets up. They get excited. I had a guy here one time, he said to me, nobody's going to tell me what to eat. And he was right. His name was Roy. It was old Roy from Texas. He was a farmer, and he was in tax class here about 1985, 86, along in there. And in the class, you know, we get to talking about law and where these laws come from and who originated them and what's it for and what does it do and how does it work and why does it work that way. And so we were talking about fat, and I pointed out that a pig is about 50% fat and about 50% lean. And when Jimmy Dean Pure Pork Sausage Company goes out to the auction and buys a pig, half the pig is fat and half the pig is lean. And so Jimmy Dean has to have a place to put all that fat because there's not much fat on ham. If you'll just take a look at ham, it's pretty much all meat, see? So the place where we put most of the fat is in sausage. And then we smoke that fat with a little bit of lean in it. And we call that sausage. God, it tastes good. I don't deny it. I'm not sitting here telling you that Jimmy Dean Pure Pork Sausage, you know, tastes like Brussels sprouts. That's not true at all. My God, the stuff tastes great. I ate it for years. My old granny used to cook with pig. I don't think my granny ever cooked anything without pig. She had pig in the beans. She had pig in the pie crust. She always cooked with lard. And so from the time I was, you know, just a little shaver, 2 years old, until I left home. Well, I left home when I was 13. So from 2 to 13, I never ate anything that didn't have pig in it, didn't have fat in it. So I'm very familiar with it, so you don't need to write me a letter and tell me about the evils of pig or tell me about how I'm crazy because I don't eat it. I'm familiar with it. But as time went on, I came to a conclusion. I said, you know, it says here in the Bible that we're not to eat pig and that we're not to eat fat. I wonder if the guy that invented and created our bodies knew something about this, if the engineer knew more about the fuel that goes into bodies. Now, I'm the oldest Gordon in five generations. Five. Going back to 1898 when my great-grandfather died at age, I think he was 46. Great-granddad Gordon. Then my granddad died at age 61. He held the record. My dad died at age 53. He died in a car wreck. It isn't quite fair to say that he died, you know, of heart attack. But they did an autopsy on him. And the autopsy said that he didn't have long to live. He had advanced heart disease and that he was going to die from heart disease. That's my dad. And then there's me, and then I have a son, firstborn son. Out of five generations, I'm the oldest. I'm 70. I have made my 70. And in looking back at the Gordon family, there are no Gordons, not a single Gordon, from 1898 until today with me. I'm the first one that has lived to be 70 years old in our branch of the family. I'm not saying that there are no Gordons out there in the world that don't live to be 70. But in our side of the family, George Gordon, you know, from Westport, California, I'm the only one that has lived to be 70. all of my great-grandfather's relatives, all of my grandfather's relatives, and all of my father's relatives, brothers, sisters, and all of them died before 70. And we all ate prodigious amounts of unclean seafoods and fat and blood. I mean, we lived on it. Well, until it killed us. So I'm here to report that I'm the one exception to the rule. Now, I quit eating fat, quit eating blood, and quit eating pig, quit eating shellfish many years ago. And I attribute that to my old age, living to be 70. I'm not very old, you know, as compared, you know, to Bob Hope, lived to be 100. Now, my grandmother lived to be 88, and she ate pig, she smoked Camel cigarettes, and she had a pretty poor lifestyle most of her life, but she was born in 1882, and she didn't breathe a lot of bad air, and she didn't drink a lot of bad water. Now, we today drink a lot of bad water, chlorine, fluoride, and we breathe a lot of bad air on top of it, so tuck that into the equation. Now, I'm going to go back here and start with adultery, now that I've covered fat for you. It's my position that the Creator, the God of creation, came up with some laws here that govern our health. And if you follow these 18 health laws, you should live to be 70 years old and never get sick once, not a single time in your entire life. Now, I'm not going to cover these in great detail, but let's just take a look at adultery. Adultery is a health law, and it governs sexually transmitted diseases. Now, sexually transmitted diseases are things like AIDS, herpes, VD, hepatitis, gonorrhea, and so on. These diseases aren't of and by themselves always fatal. For instance, gonorrhea and hepatitis isn't necessarily fatal, but it doesn't do you a lot of good, and a lot of people die from hepatitis, gonorrhea, and other sexually transmitted diseases. Herpes, most people survive with herpes without dying, but not so well with AIDS. Sexually transmitted diseases aren't good for you. They will probably shorten your life. If you don't die from the sexually transmitted disease, you may die from pneumonia or some other infectious opportunistic disease that you wouldn't have died from if you hadn't had your immune system so weakened by the venereal disease. So coming right out of the chute, alphabetically, adultery, which is chapter 2, you know, God comes along and says, don't practice adultery. Now, I haven't practiced adultery for a long time. When I was young, I did. But that's because when I was 19, I had eternal life. Then I woke up one day and I said, well, maybe I don't have as much eternal life as I thought I had, so maybe I ought to quit doing that. Now, the one good thing about adultery is that you don't get venereal disease every single time you practice adultery. I'm living witness of that. I never did get VD, and I practiced adultery, so I didn't get it every single time. In fact, I didn't even get it once. But I have seen people that got it the first time out. And I had a lady one time in our apartment house, and I was managing the Harrison Apartments there in Oakland. And this lady wore a bandage over her nose, big gauze pad. I thought it was a little strange. Well, anyway, my wife got to know this lady over time. And come to find out, this lady was a telephone operator back in 1918. Young lady, left home, went out, telephone operator, met a man, had sex with him. He had, gonorrhea or what was the other disease? I got another one there. Rot your nose off, like Al Capone. I'll think of it here in a minute. But anyway, she got this venereal disease and her nose rotted off. Just eats up the cartilage in your nose. And now, this was an old age. She was 76. Now, I managed that apartment house in 1970. And at that time, she was 76. So she'd lived her 70. She'd never married. This guy did not marry her, and her nose rotted off. She'd lived all of her life without a nose, covered with that bandage. Nice lady. Wonderful lady. And my wife told me that in talking to this lady, she had only had sex one time in her life. One time. And she got venereal disease that one time. Paid a god-awful penalty for that one time. Well, that's just time and chance, isn't it? Flipping over here to chapter 13, we got blood. That's another one. Now, there's a thing in this country called blood sausage. I've never eaten blood sausage in my life. In fact, there's a law here that says you're to bleed your animals. Here in the United States, we do that. I've been experimenting with killing animals and bleeding them. Now, the Jews are pretty serious about this. They kosher, or kasher, their animals. And I do that, too. I'm pretty cautious and careful now about eating blood, now that I see that God told me not to. And that's because the blood is the life of the animal. If you want to know where your life is, the life is in the blood. I know people say they don't know what life is. I do. Not because I'm so smart. It's just because the guy that created life said the life is in the blood. If you want to know where your life is located, it's in the blood. So take it for what it's worth. Anyway, he says, don't eat blood. He says, pour it on the ground. Now, when you kill an animal and you bleed it, you can get out about 70 to 75% of the blood. About 25% of the blood is still in the animal. Now, he says, it doesn't say don't eat any manner of blood. It says you shall not eat any manner of fat. But on the blood, he doesn't tell you to kosher the animal. But I agree with the Jews on this one. I think that getting that blood out of there can only do you some good and probably will help you. So what you do is you take meat, you know, when it comes out of the store or wherever you buy your meat, and then you put it in a pan of salt water. We usually take a pan and put a cup of salt in it. And just let it soak in there overnight, and then the next morning that meat's ready to go. Now, if you don't do that, and you don't kosher the animal, I don't think you're violating the law, because it doesn't tell you to kosher. God didn't get down the nitty-gritty and say, now you got to do that. But let me describe this blood for you, because when the blood goes through your stomach wall, it takes nutrients out of the food that's being digested in your stomach and in your colon and in your intestines. You know, you eat a Brussels sprout and that thing's got vitamins and minerals in it, and so those vitamins and minerals are being extracted by your intestines and goes into your bloodstream, and then it's carried out and it's fed out to the cells in your body. Now, that's quite a little process there. It's kind of a neat little process, and that's the way you get nutrients out there to your cells. Now, out in your cells, after your cell has used that nutrient, it gives off waste. You know, like oxygen goes out, carbon dioxide comes back, and vitamins and minerals go out, and feces comes back. You know, that stuff that ends up coming out, you're nasty, and you call that feces and urine. Well, those are the byproducts. Dead cells. Cells die and they have to be disposed of. So they come back in the blood, are filtered through the liver, sent out into your colon, and that's where you expel it. All right. The blood going out to your cells is clean. The blood coming back is dirty. So when you kill an animal, half the blood's clean, half the blood's dirty. Since you can't, you know, separate good blood from bad blood, what you've got here is you've got a lot of dirty blood there. It's got dead cells in it, and it's got feces and fecal matter, and, you know, all the waste products of your body, carbon dioxide and other stuff that needs to be disposed of. Now, you wouldn't eat feces, would you? Well, then why would you want to eat blood? I'll just rest my case right there. I'll let you decide for yourself what you want to eat. So I try to be as careful as I can to get as much of that blood out as is possible. Now, I know a lot of you people are vegetarians. Now, you're going to write me a letter and say, oh, my God, if you'd quit eating that meat, you wouldn't have that problem. This same creator also created some animals to be eaten. And we'll come to that when we come to clean meats, which is chapter number 20. So I'm going to just flip over to chapter 20, clean meats. And if you eat clean meat, you can avoid cancer, parasites, and toxic poisoning. And if you eat unclean meats, well, then you can end up getting toxic poisoning. So we'll come back and we'll take a look at what are clean and unclean meats right after this. Number one here, I need to remind you that you're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website, georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective, not eight schools and all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed now through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour and editorial review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review either. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine, they're mine alone, and they don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about these 18 health laws in this last program in this series. We're talking about the cure for disease, or what causes disease, the cause of disease. I pointed that out. We've been talking about that. That's caused by either malnutrition or poison. Now, we'd be remiss if we didn't come back and say, well, okay, so you've been malnourished. Have you ever thought about nourishing yourself? A wild new concept, I know, but how about, you know, if you're not getting nutrition from Big Macs and French fries, why don't we try more Brussels sprouts and broccoli? Or if we go to the 18 health laws of the Bible, which includes such things as broccoli and Brussels sprouts, but not specifically by name, but there is a prohibition against eating fat. So if you followed that law, you would not eat at McDonald's at all. Now, there was one thing that was in McDonald's that was worth buying. It was their hot coffee, but after they got sued, now their coffee's cold, so it's not worth drinking, so there isn't anything at McDonald's worth buying now. But there wasn't much there that was worth buying to begin with. And the problem with their hamburger is that it's 70% lean and 30% fat. the 70% lean's probably all right, but it's that 30% fat. That's what's bad. And then you're cooking those French fries in what? Fat. What did God tell you about fat? Just don't eat it. That doesn't have anything to do with giving sacrifices. It has to do with the length of the intestinal tract of human beings and the hydrochloric acid in your stomach. Boys and girls, you can't digest that fat. That's what it boils down to. That's why you're told don't eat that animal fat, because you can't digest it. Now, there's one type of fat that you can digest, and it's called cow's cream. You can digest that. The way you do that is to drink raw cow's cream, which has the enzyme from the cow to digest it. Your body doesn't have it. So when you drink pasteurized milk, which is what most of you people are drinking, you're drinking this fat without the enzyme. You have no way to digest it. It goes right through your stomach lining into your arteries, causes atherosclerosis, and you die from heart attack. So if you want to know why we have so much cardiovascular disease in the United States, it's because we eat fat. That's all. Just that simple. So if you want to stop cardiovascular disease, stop eating fat and it'll all go away. Just like if you'll eat foods with vitamin C, you won't get scurvy, or if you have scurvy, it'll go away. Now, the clean meats over here are simple. They're fairly easy to understand. Clean meats are those animals that chew their cud and have cloven hooves. Now, cows are clean because they chew their cud and they have cloven hooves. Goats are clean. They chew their cud and have cloven hooves. Sheep are clean. They chew their cud and they have cloven hooves. Giraffes are clean. Giraffes. They have a cloven hoof and chew their cud. There's a lot of animals that are clean. If you just look at the animal, does it chew its cud and does it have cloven hooves? It has to have both. Because there are some animals that have cloven hooves, like pigs, but do not chew their cud. Or animals that do chew their cud, like camels, and do not have cloven hooves. So you have to be smart enough. You have to have enough savvy, enough street sense, that you can distinguish animals that do both, chew their cud and have a cloven hoof. If you can do that, that's a clean animal. Go ahead and eat it. Do not eat its fat. Do not eat its blood. But do eat of its meat. Now, there's some other flesh out there you could eat. If it's in the seas, in the water, it has to have fins and scales. Two things. If it has fins and scales, eat it. If it doesn't have both fins and scales, don't eat it. Now, alligators have scales. They don't have fins. Don't eat it. Turtles have scales, but they don't have fins. Don't eat them. Now, salmon have fins and scales, so you can eat those. Catfish have fins, but they do not have scales. Do not eat catfish. Now, there's a fish that the Japanese really like. It's a real delicacy. They call them puffer fish. These puffer fish are deadly. They've got a gland in them with deadly poison, and if you don't clean them just correctly, and you get that gland, it'll kill you. And so people eat these puffer fish, and then they die, and it's a fish that has fins, but it doesn't have scales. So God's pretty smart. You know, he comes along and he says, you know, if you people wouldn't eat skin fish, that's fish without scales, you wouldn't have that problem. Now, most Japanese know how to clean those puffer fish, and so it doesn't kill them, but, you know, why take a chance? Now, the vegetarian comes along and says, well, God gave us every green herb. That's true, every green herb, and that includes poppies and cocaine. You know, cocaine comes from cocoa bushes, and those are green. Now, he doesn't tell us that he doesn't give us the other colors, like mushrooms, but if you don't want to eat mushrooms, that's fine. And if you don't, then you're not going to die from not eating mushrooms. There are some mushrooms that are poisonous, but some aren't. And I'll leave it up to you. There's nothing in the scripture tells you not to eat mushrooms, but if it bothers you, well, then leave them out. But if it's green, a green herb, but keep in mind that not all green herbs are non-poisonous. For instance, water hemlock is deadly poison, but it's green. So just because it's green doesn't mean you can eat it, and just because it isn't green doesn't mean that you can't. But, you know, I'll leave it up to you. You can decide for yourself what you want to do. But my point is this. Vegetarians and vegetarianism is a doctrine of demons. You can practice vegetarianism if you want, but you'll probably turn out less healthy. Most of the vegetarians that I know are runny people. They're not very healthy. And they think it's because they were eating meat. It's because they were eating unclean meat. That's what made them unhealthy. Now, meat is good for people. It's good for humans, but it's got to be the clean meats and not the unclean. If you can't tell the difference between clean and unclean meat, you'd probably be better off if you didn't eat meat at all. Vegetarians are unable to tell the difference between clean and unclean meats. And they're probably right. It would be better for them if they didn't eat meat at all. But for the rest of us that can make the distinction between clean and unclean, maybe we could do both. Eat both vegetables and clean meat without the fat and without the blood. All right, let's go down here and let's pick out a couple, three more. Now, I'll tell you about fat. Let's try leprosy down here. Leprosy is number 72. If you were going through my Mosaic Law School, we'd get to lesson number 72, and it would be on Hansen's disease, leprosy. It's a health law. It's a contagious disease. It causes boils, lesions, and herpes. Or it's like boils, herpes, and lesions. And it's deadly, and you can get it from eating an unclean animal called an armadillo. And a lot of people eat armadillos. A lot of people eat anything that wiggles, moves, or squirms. And then they end up getting sick. And then, of course, the vegetarian says, "See what happens when you eat meat? You ate that armadillo, and look, now you got Hansen's disease," commonly known in the Bible as leprosy. Well, the vegetarian's right there. That's unclean meat, and you ought not to have eaten that. And you run the risk. It isn't that every armadillo has leprosy. It's just that, you know, armadillos are known to have leprosy. And if you eat them, like squirrels and rats and armadillos and pigs and puffer fish. And, I mean, there's a lot of critters out there that you can eat that are going to give you diseases that are going to make you real sick, and you'd be better off if you didn't do that. So tuck that one away in your heart. Now, leprosy is curable. In fact, here in the United States, they came up, I think it's antibiotics. Isn't that what they use on leprosy? But, you know, for thousands of years before we had antibiotics, you know, people got leprosy. And probably because they were eating unclean foods, and then they would end up with leprosy. And then we all wonder, well, gee, what happened to Bob over there? He got leprosy. And then the vegetarian says he blames it on meat, and it's really blamed on unclean meat. All right, now let's try menstruous women. Did you know there's a law on menstruous women? It's law number 79 here in the Mosaic Law. Do you know what's wrong with menstruous women? Ladies, you were created that way. You didn't evolve the menstrual cycle. It's a natural process of cleaning your body out every month for the next round of sperm and eggs. It's a part of your reproductive process. 100% normal, 100% designed and created. It was designed and created by a master engineer. I mean, that guy was really smart. I wished I was half as smart as God. I'd be one smart dude. So God comes along and he says, "Now, listen, ladies, we got a process here called menstruation. And this stuff that comes out of you is really toxic stuff. I mean, it's kind of like feces. It's really, really toxic. It's waste is what it is, and it needs to be disposed of properly. It's kind of like nuclear waste. It isn't that nuclear waste is bad for us. It's that nuclear waste needs to be disposed of properly. And that menstrual discharge needs to be discharged properly. So in Leviticus chapter 15, verses 19 through 33, it describes in great detail how to do that. Now, in modern times, we have sanitary napkins and we have showers, and we have a lot of running water, at least, you know, here in the industrialized Western world. I mean, if you're living in Holland, Belgium, Luxembourg, Germany, France, you probably don't have a problem. If you're living in Mexico or India or someplace like that, and you don't have a lot of running water, it poses a greater problem. You've got this toxic waste. It needs to be cleaned off. It needs to be cleaned up. It needs to be disposed of properly. And in Leviticus 18:19, you shall not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is put apart for uncleanness. So during this menstrual period, lasts about 5 or 6 days, boys, you should abstain from sexual activity during that period of time. Did you know that? I don't know if anybody ever explained that to you, but the Creator did. He took the time to say, boys, this girl's got a pretty noxious, toxic waste here. And getting that all over you isn't good for your health. And girls, getting that all over you ain't good for your health either. It needs to be disposed of properly. Now, it's kind of like feces. You know, we all learn when we get potty trained to go to the bathroom and wipe and then wash your hands after, you know. Okay. Well, same thing goes here. And it deals with a thing called sanitation. And there's a law on sanitation. It's law number 108 here in the Mosaic Law. Remember, I've code-pled these out. And I'm to the point here where I can just flip over here in alphabetical order to sanitation. Now, sanitation is where you keep clean. Keep clean. And this deals with the excrement that comes from your body. Now, oftentimes, and this was true during the Civil War at Andersonville, do you know why most of those soldiers down there died? They died from infectious disease because of improper sanitation and hygiene. Boy, that's a killer. In other words, being dirty can kill you. In fact, as we look around the world, we find in those areas of the world where people don't have a lot of running water, or they've got contaminated water, and they drink it and use it, they get cholera, malaria, and a whole host and plethora of contagious diseases that they could avoid if they would keep clean. And that's why keeping clean is pretty important. And there's a statute here in Deuteronomy 23, verses 12 through 14. It says, you shall have a place also without the camp, whether you shall go forth abroad, and you shall have a paddle upon your weapon. And it shall be when you shall ease yourself abroad, that you shall dig therewith, and you shall turn back and cover that which comes from you, because Eternal your God walks in the midst of the camp to deliver you and to give up your enemies before you. Therefore shall your camp be holy, and that he see no unclean thing in thee and turn away from you. Now, the bodily wastes that come from our bodies are a normal, natural process. Now, here in America, we take our waste products, that's feces and urine, and we flush it down a toilet. Run it out to a sanitation plant, and we run it through chemicals, and then we flush that down the Mississippi River so the people in St. Louis can drink it. Now, I'm not sure that that's the smartest use of water or the smartest way to dispose of our waste. Notice here, he says, cover it. Now, the Chinese call this night soil, and they take it out and they put it in their gardens. You know, I'm sure they don't do that in Shanghai and Beijing, but out in the countryside, they take it out and they bury it in the ground. Here, we call these septic tanks, and we cover it and bury it in the ground. I think that might be a better use of these waste materials. In the old days, we used to have outhouses. The Amish people to this day still have outhouses. They don't have running water. Well, they may have some running water, but they don't typically have bathrooms and showers and so on. And so as a result of that, their hygiene is a little lacking. But they do have outhouses, and they do have a place to go potty. They go dig a hole, and they go potty in the hole, and then they cover it over, which is precisely what the scripture calls for. So tuck that one away in your heart. The creator of the universe isn't near as dumb as we give him credit for. I mean, the guy, you know, he doesn't know everything, I guess, because we are obviously smarter than God. And that's why we do what we do. But I just thought I would throw out here as a report to you that maybe this God isn't as dumb as we thought he was. Now, there's a couple other things like copulation. That's the semen that comes from males. That's a deadly, toxic substance. Did you know that? Deadly, toxic. Now, I know, boys, that you didn't think that that was quite as deadly and toxic, but I want to point out to you that your immune system can't deal with it. That's because it can't recognize it. This is why sodomites get disease. You see, your body, it recognizes foreign substances that come into it, and then they attack it and destroy it and cast it out of your body. But bodies cannot recognize semen as being deadly and toxic, and so as a result of that, your body ignores it. And this is why sodomites die so readily. Now, lesbians don't, because remember the deadly toxic substance that we call semen? See, girls don't have that. And as a result of that, their bodies then recognize toxins and attack those toxins and throw them out, but not semen. If it did, see, girls, you couldn't get pregnant because this foreign substance coming into your body would be attacked. It's not attacked, it's welcomed. That's why, you know, God the Creator now, He's designed your body. So you get a splinter in your finger, boy, that thing festers up, gets real sore, and if nothing else, you don't take it out, it'll just pop out of them by itself. That's because your body rejects that. That's the rejection factor. It's important. It's part of your health, part of your immune system. Okay, so here's the statute that deals with copulation. It's law number 23 here in my series. I'm going to flip back here to 23. Most people don't know this, and they don't pay attention here. Let's get over here to copulation. Here it is. Just a couple of chapters, or a couple of statutes here. It says, and if any man, this is Leviticus 15, verses 16 through 18, if any man's seed of copulation go out from him, then he shall wash all of his flesh in water and be unclean until the evening. And every garment and every skin whereon is the seed of copulation shall be washed with water and be unclean until the even. The woman also with whom man shall lie with seed of copulation, they shall both bathe themselves in water and be unclean until the even. Until the evening, not until nightfall. Now, there's something that kills bacteria. It's called sunlight. Water will wash it off. Sunlight will kill bacteria. All right, so tuck that one away in your heart. That's why we hang our clothes out on the clothesline, so that the ultraviolet rays of the sun will kill the bacteria. Now, today, we're pretty smart people, so we wash and dry our clothes in the dark so that it won't kill the bacteria. And then we wonder, gee, I wonder why we're getting skin rashes, psoriasis, and various other skin ailments. If you'd hang your laundry out on the line and kill all that bacteria, you'd have a lot less skin problems. You ever wonder about skin problems, you know, like psoriasis and other skin diseases? Tuck it away in your heart here. Now, whores and sodomy are pretty self-evident. Venereal disease, AIDS. The improper use of sex and incest, that can produce disease and deformities. We have a thing here called quarantine. You ever heard of quarantine? People fear quarantine. That's why they want to get vaccinated, so they don't get inconvenienced for 3 weeks. It's take a look at quarantine, which is number 101. I'll flip over here quickly to 101. Quarantine 101. Let's try that one. There's one country in the world that still practices quarantine. Guess what it is? Cuba. They have the lowest incidence of AIDS in the world. Did you know that? Lowest incidence of AIDS. When they catch somebody with AIDS, they lock them up. They put them outside the camp. Now, quarantine is a fairly new invention. We just discovered this about 1880, 1890, and started using it effectively to eliminate diseases, you know, like tuberculosis and cholera and things like that in places like New York and Chicago. And it worked wonders. Like tuberculosis, we found somebody with TB, we'd lock them up in a sanitarium to protect the rest of society. That's what they do in Cuba. They lock people up in Cuba to protect the rest of society. They have the lowest incidence of AIDS in the world. They're condemned for it. The World Health Organization says they're barbarians down there in Cuba. Well, I don't know, but they're practicing one scriptural health law called quarantine, and it works well. And it works for them, and it'll work for you. Here's the way it works. In Numbers 5, verses 1 through 4, the Eternal spoke unto Moses, saying, "You command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper and every one that has an issue, and whosoever is defiled by the dead. Both male and female shall you put them out. Without the camp shall you put them, that they defile not their camps in the midst whereof I dwell." And the children of Israel did so, and they put them out without the camp, as the Eternal spoke unto Moses, so did the children of Israel. When we practiced quarantine in the United States, we had disease under control. Now we don't practice that in this country anymore, and we have diseases that are out of control. That's the way life is. We rely, in this country now, upon vaccination. Vaccinations makes a lot of money. Bottom line, is it a viable health practice? Not at all. Does it make a lot of money? You bet. Are we going to keep it? You can bet your bottom patootie on that one. Now, I don't practice vaccination. I practice quarantine. So if somebody says, "Well, I'm going to quarantine you," would you please? Quarantine can take anywhere from 3 weeks, sometimes a little longer, but up to 3 weeks. And maybe I need to be quarantined. And if you don't want to be quarantined, well, then, you know, get your vaccination. Now, vaccinations have their own problems. And I'll talk to you about that one of these days. But keep this in mind, that the 18 health laws are adultery, blood, fat, childbirth, circumcision, clean meats, clothing, copulation, dead men, disease, sickness, and plague, leprosy, menstruous women, quarantine, running issues, sanitation, sex, incest, sodomy, and whores. Those are the laws that God says you practice these 18 health laws. I mean, if you'd learn what these are and get good at them, you'll never get sick again. Isn't that special? You're going to eat the right foods, avoid the bad foods, and when it's all said and done, you're not going to get sick. Now, if you violate any one or more of these 18 health laws, then you need health insurance. And, you know, sickness costs a lot of money, and if you're going to get sick, you need health insurance. If you don't want to get sick, then these are the 18 laws you want to practice. Now, how's that for a plan? Hey, I'm running out of time here, so I'm going to have to remind you that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact desk, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.